and byways of life. Many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to
And that's a good prayer given to us in song. Lord, make me a blessing today. There are broken hearts everywhere, people poor and needy, not just poor in finances, but poor in emotions and needing strength and a touch from God to help them. And what a prayer it is for us to pray, Lord, make me a blessing today. This is John Thrasher, and I look forward to spending 30 minutes of devotions with you. And you know, one of the important things about this period of devotions is the fact that the secret of becoming a blessing to anybody is simply getting in touch with Jesus first thing in the morning. When we have a true relationship with Christ, you don't even have to try to be a blessing. You will be a blessing. It's as simple as that. You get in step with heaven. You pour your heart out to God first thing in the morning, become emptied of everything negative, impure, unloving, selfish, proud, jealous, bitter. Just pour your heart out to God and say, Lord, flush me out. Empty me of everything that is contrary to your spirit of love and your spirit of purity, and fill me with everything that's beautiful. And then you leave your home and that frame of mind and attitude and that heart filled with the love of Jesus and with His Spirit, and you don't even have to try to be a blessing. You will be a blessing, because it will become the outflowing of that river of life. Even as Jesus said, Him that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this is without effort. You just walk close to the Lord and love him, and lo and behold, when you get around people, you will be a blessing. You don't even have to try. The river of God just automatically and very easily and smoothly flows out of your heart. Or should I say, overflows. Because when we become filled with Jesus, He overflows our lives. Sometimes the harder you try to be a blessing, the less good you are to others. And on the other hand, if you just relax, walk with God, stay in close contact with Jesus, and relax and let the Holy Spirit blow you as the wind blows a leaf around, just at His way, being what He wants you to be, going where He wants you to go, just being yielded as a piece of clay in the hands of the potter, and God will certainly make you a blessing. So one of the important things about this time of the morning is our worship of the Lord, getting our minds off of everything else, focusing our thoughts, our emotions, our affections, our very heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, and just worshiping Him, as the psalmist said in Psalm 134. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. Behold, bless ye the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. There it is, the whole chapter. Just three verses long, Psalm 134, but it sure says a lot. This morning, let us lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And as we worship God in the beauty of holiness, with our hearts and our hands lifted up, allowing Jesus to fill us through and through, listen, when you get out among men today, you don't even have to try to be a blessing. You will be a blessing. Let's come into His house, gather in His name, and worship Him. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto Jesus, Why speakest thou unto them parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even what he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, immediately he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. How many times have you read this parable of the sower? How many times have you heard it preached upon, recorded in Matthew chapter 13? Isn't it strange that the very things which cause some people to quit cause others to grow stronger? You remember in the shallow ground when the seed that was sown sprang up very quickly, but it was shallow soil. And then when the sun came out, it withered and died. And the sun is likened to the trials and the tribulations that come to us. And it's a known fact that when the sun gets hot, some people just wither. They give up and quit, while others grow stronger because of the hot sun, because of the trials and tribulations. Doesn't the Bible say, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you? Make no mistake about it. Jesus did not say, if the sun comes out and gets hot. He says, when it does, because it most surely will. And don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to try you. The sun will get hot, but it won't hurt you if you are deeply rooted in God. The good soil is God. And in fact, the hot sun will cause you to grow. While others wilt, it will cause you to grow if you are deeply rooted in God. When that sun comes barreling down on you, it will not hurt you if you are rooted in God. The Bible says, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And when the trials do come, just commit yourself into God's care and grow deep in God. Let the roots of your soul grow in God. And how do we do that? How do you deepen the soil? If indeed the soil is God, which I believe it is, then how do you deepen the soil? I think you do it in three ways: through prayer, through the Word of God, and through Christian fellowship. Those three. And I think they are all inseparable. I don't think you can have Christian fellowship without having the Word and prayer. And I don't think you can have just the Word without having the prayer and Christian fellowship. And I don't think you can have just the prayer by itself without having the Christian fellowship. and the Word of God. I think you need all three. If you want to deepen the soil and go deep in God, have those times of prayer and communion with Jesus. Have those times when you absorb His Word and let that Word, which is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, become a very part of your being, so that it's not the philosophy of this world and it's not your own words, but it becomes what thus saith the Lord. And that two-edged sword, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, becomes very much a part of your life. That's how you go deep in God, and the roots of your soul are grounded in Him. And then when the sun comes out, which it most certainly will, and the trials will come, you won't wilt and die and quit and give up, but instead you will grow stronger and stronger. And that Christian fellowship is so necessary. It isn't enough just to stay at home and pray and read your Bible all by yourself. The Bible is very clear on the fact that we are not loners. We are in a fellowship in the body of Christ. You're not out there fighting your own battle, doing your own thing. We are to pray one for the other, care one for the other, love one another, and be ye kind one to another. We need that fellowship. We need that bond. And it isn't just what you get out of that fellowship, but it is also what you are able to give into it. Maybe you can say, well, I'll just stay at home and pray and read my Bible and walk with the Lord. And perhaps you can, up to a certain degree, although it is very easy and very risky to go off the deep end if we don't have checks and balances. You see, even in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when someone gives a word of prophecy, the others are to sit there and judge that prophecy. And it's very easy for us that if we just read our Bibles in solitude and pray in solitude and never compare what we believe is the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life, compare it with others that we have respect and confidence in, it's very possible I can start believing things that are not true and think that God is really leading me when in fact it is my own spirit. Christian fellowship is necessary. It is very important. But even if you can be at home and just pray and read your Bible and grow in the Lord, think of the blessing that people are missing out on for what you can contribute and what you can give in that time of worship. So you see, it isn't just what you derive out of a service. Maybe it's possible you can come to church and say, well, it's so dry and I don't get anything out of it, so I'm just going to stay home and worship the Lord. But the blessing that you can be, it isn't just what you get out of coming, but what you can contribute and what you can give. And anyway, if your church seems so dry, it doesn't have to be. You can wait on the Lord and let God fill you to overflowing. And when you come to church, some of that river that flows out of you can spill over on others as you're there in worship. But I do think that those three things are the means whereby we deepen the soil so that when the seed sprouts, it doesn't grow up in shallow soil and the sun comes out and we just can't take the heat. And we wither and die. We need those times of prayer and communion with the Lord. We need those times that we get into the Word of God, because it's not just feelings, and it's not just experiences, and it's not just emotions, as much as I believe in all those things, but it's not just the feelings by themselves. You've got to be grounded in what thus saith the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to go off the deep end. We've got to have the Scripture dwelling within us, and then that beautiful time of Christian fellowship where we pray one for the other, support one another, exhort one another, encourage one another, rebuke one another, straighten out each other, bear one another's burdens. Thereby we grow in the Lord. And the sun won't hurt you when it comes out. When others wilt, you will just grow deeper in God. What are trials? What is the hot sun? I think that anything which threatens to take away your peace of mind and tranquility of soul would be labeled a trial. The hot sun. You may name some. Pressures of finances, pain, illness, fears, real or unreal. There are a lot of fears that we have that aren't even real. But in a lot of people's minds, they're real. And you can't really say, well, it's just all in your imagination. It's just all in your head. You don't have any of that. Well, as far as they're concerned, they've got it. And whether a fear is real or unreal, they're fears nonetheless. Or maybe rude and mean people, that can be a trial. Or delays, disappointments. Nothing much worse in life than experiencing disappointments. As Job said, I looked for good, but evil came. How often do you look for something good to happen and you're totally disappointed? Or maybe spiritual dryness, or disillusionments, or being deprived of something, or maybe something as simple as the weather that can be a trial. Maybe it rains one day after another, or maybe it's very, very cold one day after another, or very, very, very hot one day after another. And if you're not careful, you can allow your spirit to become very upset. Just because of the weather. Everything else may be going beautifully well, but just because of the weather. I have a dear friend of ours, Costa Dare, from Lima, New York, whose attitude is that wherever he may be, he is happy in the Lord, and he thinks it's sinful to ever complain about anything. He travels the world giving seminars to pastors and natives all over the world. He says that when I'm in Africa, and it is so hot that even the natives are complaining about how hot it is, he says, just the way I like it. Or he says, if I'm in Minnesota and it is so cold that winter that even the residents are complaining about how cold it is, he says, just the way I like it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that and mean it? That whatever happens, if it is so hot or so cold or so rainy or so foggy or whatever is happening, to be able to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it just the way I like it. And not to be facetious in it, and not to be hypocritical or to lie about it, but to be so in tune with heaven and walk in such close harmony with the Lord that anything God does is all right with you. Lord, teach us to do that. Help us to live like that. And how can you do it? When the soil gets deep. If you're living in shallow soil, and your experience in God is so shallow, the least bit of sunshine is going to cause you to wither and die. The least bit of heat. And let's face it, Christians go through the furnace of affliction, don't they? Of course they do. But you can't wither and give up and quit. You've got to go all the way. We've got to hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. And let the sun come out, and let the trials come. If we can say, thy word have I hid in my heart that it might not sin against thee, and we have God's word hid in our heart, and we spend those times in prayer, not just to say, well, I prayed an hour today, so I must be pretty good. Not in that sense at all, but to have those times of prayer because we know that we need that fresh contact with Jesus, and to talk to him and let him talk to you. And then enjoy that Christian fellowship together that is so necessary. It is not optional. It is important and it is necessary as the body of Christ working together, flowing together in unity and harmony. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, dear friend, do you want to be more like Jesus? Then deepen the soil, and as the seed begins to grow, you're not going to wither and die when the going gets rough and the sun gets hot. And you're not going to have all those thorns to grow up and choke the word, those worldly pleasures and disillusionments and deceivableness of riches. But you're going to just walk with the Lord and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Lord, teach us how to do it. Teach us how to have faith. Teach us how to be holy. Teach us how to be loving when it would be so easy to be mean and nasty and bitter. Teach us, Lord, how to be humble when it is in human nature to be lifted up in pride. Teach us, Lord, how to please you in everything that we do and say, that Jesus may be manifested and revealed in us. Amen. Dear friend, is that your desire? Is that what you want more than anything in all the world? Well, if you do, you'll get it. Because if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you're going to find him. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And let me express my deepest appreciation to those of you and that unseen audience of radio who helped to make these programs possible because they are listener supported. Have a good day and may God's very best be yours. And just bless his holy name throughout this day, would you?